You have your Bible, if you would, turn to Revelation chapter number 8, the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation. And once you find your place there, if you would, please stand. Revelation chapter number 8, once you find your place, if you would, please stand. I want to read the 8th chapter, and you follow along as I read. We'll do a little bit of bring us up to where we are, and then I want to go into some of the trumpets. There's 21 judgments that God is going to unleash upon this earth during the tribulation and the great tribulation, and they're broken up in three rounds of seven. There's seven seal judgments, and there's seven trumpet judgments, and then there's seven vial, and that's V-I-A-L and not V-I-L-E, seven vial judgments. And we've looked at the six seals, and now we're going to get into the trumpets, okay? The seventh seal actually opens up, as we shall see, the seven trumpets. And then the seven trumpets ends, the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet ends with woes. And then the final seventh trumpet, it introduces the vial judgments. And some people say, well, you know, what's the big deal? Well, God put it in here. That's a big deal. If God puts something in His Word, anything God does is a big deal. But if He puts it in His Word, it's a real big deal. And so there's a purpose that God wrote these. And I just want to share a couple of things with you that I hope, number one, I hope will let us realize the reality of the judgment that's coming upon this earth. But then number two, the thankfulness that we're not going to be here. If you're saved, you're not going to be here. But you know, a lot of people are. And we may rub shoulders with some every day. Jesus could come tonight and all this could be set into motion. And I sure would hate to think that I get to heaven and I've seen people on a regular basis and I never told them. And then it's too late. And so hopefully that's what reading this and discussing it will help us to understand the seriousness of getting the gospel of Jesus Christ, not only to our neighbors, but those around the world through missions, all right? Revelation chapter number 8. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. I'm not having a mental lapse. I want you to think about what 30 seconds of silence would be, let alone 30 minutes. You see how silence gets our attention? We live in such a noisy world. Heaven's a noisy place. Hell is too. Everywhere you go, there's noise. I could show you in the scripture where in this moment right here, there's going to be silence everywhere. Habakkuk chapter 2 says the whole earth shall be silent. Zechariah chapter 1 says that the island shall be silent. And here the Bible says that heaven for half an hour. Do you imagine that? 30 minutes of silence. Why? Well, I believe that it's because of what's happened. I do. Seal after seal has been opened. Plague after plague. Wars. Pestilence. Famine. Earthquakes. Hunger. Death. Everywhere. You know, we look around our world today and we say, man, this world's gone crazy. Can I tell you, the seals are not opened until the church, which is the salt of the earth and the light of the world, is taken out. We look around our world today and think about how crazy it is and how it's like the world's on a moral freefall. What do you think it's going to be like when the church, which is the light that's left here and the salt, is taken out? Can you just imagine the anarchy, the chaos that's going to come? That's what the scripture says. When we're removed, the seals are going to be open. And then, when it gets to the seventh one, there's going to be silence. It's almost like you catch your breath. You ever been doing something for a long period of time? Maybe there's just been, you know, a lot going on around you, you know? And then you just stop and you just kind of to catch your breath, and there's silence because you know that it's getting ready to pick up again. I believe with all of my heart that's what's getting ready to happen here. It's almost like there's a holy hush because the angels begin to move and take their places because they're going to blow their trumpets. And it's like heaven knows what's coming. You do know we're going to see this. When you go back and look, they said, come and see. Right? Go back to chapter 6 and look sometime. Come and see. We've witnessed this thinking, wow. But then the scripture says there was silence for about half an hour. And look, verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire, the fire of the altar, and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all grass was burnt up. And the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. And a third part of the ships were destroyed. And a third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and third part of the moon, and third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. And that's devastating. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll just try to comment on a few of these verses and see what God is trying to tell us here, okay? Father, we thank you for the word of God, and we thank you for the Spirit of God that allows us to be informed, to be in the know. We are so thankful that we are not in darkness, that we do not walk in darkness, that we are children of the light, and you have revealed your plan for the ages to us. Thank you for revealing your plan for my life to me. Beyond that, you've revealed your plan of the ages to me, and I thank you for it, and I thank you for your word. God, I pray that our hearts would be open, we would be attentive, receptive, and responsive to the word of God this evening, in Jesus' name, amen. And amen, you can be seated. Well, you know, it's hard to read this and find something encouraging, but I do want to tell you that there's some things encouraging here when you look at a few things, and so that's what I'd like to do. I want to just want to give you some things that God gave me when I read through this. I read through it several times, and I'm just going to give you some thoughts that God gave me. First of all, I want you to notice that even in the midst, God always does this. God always does this. Even in the midst of judgment and calamity and disaster, God mentions hope. Notice, if you would, in verse number 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given trumpets." And it's almost as if before, if you skip down to verse number 6, it says, "And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound." But there's almost like this little interlude. There's like this little parenthesis that says, now before these seven angels that were given these seven trumpets, before they sounded, and the judgments began to be unleashed again upon this earth, God wanted a reminder to be given. And the reminder starts in verse number 3. Another angel gets his attention. Okay, so you have these seven angels, and you have to remember these seals have been opened, and nothing but, I mean, bewilderment had to follow the opening of the seals. And you know that when these trumpets are going to sound, it's going to be much of the same. And yet this angel, this other angel of the seven, other than the seven, gets his attention. And he says in verse number 3, he said, "This another angel came and stood at the altar." Now, I'm not going to go into this, but there is a tabernacle in heaven from whence God gave Moses on the Mount Sinai the blueprint of, so they could build the tabernacle on the earth, which is called the tabernacle of the congregation or the tabernacle of the wilderness. That was not just something that was made up. God took the pattern from the tabernacle in heaven. You understand that, right? Everybody understands that. And so one of the pieces or articles of furnishings in the Holy of Holies on the tabernacle of the earth was the altar of incense. And that's where the attention now goes. Okay? Look at what it says in verse number 3. He says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer. And he said, and there was given unto him much incense." Now, what is a golden censer? It's almost like a bucket or a shovel that they would take, and they would either put the coals or they would put the ashes, and they would carry them in. And he said that he had this censer, this golden censer, and he said it was given unto him and much incense. Now, incense was something that they burned on the altar that put off a fragrance that went up before God in the tabernacle. And he said that they put he had this incense, and it says in verse number 3, "It was offered with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne." So God said, I want you to know something. Your prayers are not in vain, all right? The things that you have been praying about are coming to pass. Now, I could list many here that God wanted to remind the people in heaven. This is for the people in heaven. God said, I want you to know, number one, I'm still in control. What you have been seeing looks like the devil's in control. But God says, I want you to know, I have everything under control. I am actually allowing this to happen. Your prayers are not in vain. And so he said, I want you to know that your prayers have not fallen to the ground. God says, I have every prayer that's ever been prayed. Did you get what he said here? Look at it again. This is not the only time, by the way, in the book of the Revelation that this is mentioned. He said, there was given him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Now, we've already seen some of the prayers of the saints. If you'll remember back in chapter number 6, back in chapter number 6, they were praying, you know, how long? You know, or is this going to go before you vindicate? God, before you do something about this, how long is it going to be? And God said, going to take care of it. Do you know one of the things that we were taught to pray is thy kingdom come? Very few Christians pray that. God has reminded me often that I need to be praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Amen. You know, real Christians will begin to hunger when the closer we get, the more wicked this world is, and the farther we get away from the world and the closer we get to God, the more we begin to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. That's right. And John, when he closed out this book, said, Even so come, Lord Jesus. And he said, He's coming. That's right. That's what he's saying. He said, The prayers have not fallen. The things that you have been praying are coming to pass. But this has got to come first. All right? Now, this tells me something. While we're here on earth, it's really hard to have a heavenly mentality while we're here on earth. We ought to set our affection on things above. When we get to heaven, we're going to be saying amen to everything that God does. There's some things that is going on in this world that I know that God is in control of, and I'm just going to be transparent with you. Brethren, it's hard for me to reconcile in my heart. It's hard. God knows my heart. And I just know that God is always right. But there's just some things, and I could mention some things, and you could probably mention some things, and we just wonder, but I know this. I know that all things work together for the good. For we who love the Lord and are the called according to His purpose. And I don't know, I've seen some people go through some things, and I have had to face some things, and I've often wondered, you know, what good could come out of that? Maybe you've never had to do that, okay? Maybe you've never had that. And if you haven't, then maybe you won't understand what I'm saying to you. But I'm telling you, if you live long enough and you extend your works far enough, there's going to be some things happen that you're going to begin to question, you know, what good could come out of that? But I'm here to tell you, the longer I live, God continues to build on my faith the fact that He is in control. He can never do wrong. Everything He does is right. There is a purpose. There's a greater purpose than what I can see. And I believe that that's what we're being told here. God is telling these people, you didn't understand it. You may not understand some things on earth, but when you get to heaven now, we're going to see. That's why He said, what did He say? He said, when you pray, Thy will be done in earth. How? As it is in heaven. Can I tell you? Everybody in heaven is for God's will. Not everybody in this building is for God's will, let alone on this earth. I'm not saying that some are spiritual and some are carnal. I'm just saying it depends on where you are. You listening to me? See, God's will in earth is done immediately, in heaven's done immediately. It's done swiftly. It's done without question. It's done without delay. Yes. And that's when Jesus said, you pray, Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's just some of the things that He meant by that. God, we want Your will to be done every time. Can I tell you, God's will on earth is not done every time. We want it to be done to its fullest. We want it to be done completely. God's will is not done completely by you or me. Not every time. And so here's God saying, your prayers are being answered, and I'm going to show you in heaven how that works. I'll be glad when that happens. I'll be glad when that happens. Because while we're on this earth, we're going to have questions. So, well, not me, preacher. I'm never going to question the Lord. Well, now I think you're being dishonest with yourself. It's not about being dishonest with someone else. It's about being dishonest with yourself. Don't deceive yourself. You see, you'll never be able to grow until you pass the test. And you'll never be able to pass the test until you're honest with yourself. And you say, this is where I need some help. Right? Yes. And so I thank God that God did this. And look, if you would, in verse number 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and earthquake. In other words, God said, some of the prayers that you have prayed, some of the prayers of all the saints of all of time, is helping to bring these next things to fruition. It's all part of the big plan of God. Can I tell you, everything that God had planned from the foundation of the world has taken place. None of it is going to be thwarted by the devil. None of it. He thinks he's in control, but he's not. God is in control, and we need to keep that in mind. Now, I want to talk about these trumpets for a moment. They're 7 in number. It's very, when you read about these 7 trumpets, It's real easy to distinguish four of them from three of them. I want to do that for you for just a moment, okay? If you look in chapter number 8 and verse number 7, you have the first angel sounding of the first trumpet. And then verse number 8, you have the second trumpet. In verse number 10, you have the third trumpet. And in verse number 12 of chapter 8, you have the fourth. Now after that, there's almost like a, something happens. And here's what happens. There is a huge difference in what happens with the sounding of the first four trumpets and the sounding of the final three trumpets. But there's something that happens even between those four and those three, and it's found in verse number 13. Look at it if you would. After the sounding, and we'll see what the trumpet is in a moment, but after the sounding of the fourth trumpet in verse number 12, the scripture says this in verse number 13, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying." Isn't that something? He didn't say, "I saw an angel flying." He said, "I heard it." He heard the rustling of the angel's wings. My goodness, I mean, could you imagine what that must be like? He said, I beheld and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice. Now watch this now. Woe, woe, woe to, and this is a very key component to what we're getting ready to look at, to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. He said, things are getting ready to turn. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, I'll show you what he means by that, because the scripture always interprets itself. If you look at verse number 7, and I'm not going to go into these because I take all of these literal. I take every one of these literal. In verse number 7, the first trumpet, the first angel sounded, and it said there was hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast into the earth, and a third part of the trees was burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. One third of living vegetation is going to be seared, burnt. And then if you look at the next, it says, now, by the way, you say, well, what? You know, what's all that about? Well, I told myself I'm not going to comment on this until next week, but you could just imagine what that would do to the psyche of man, number one, but to the food supply. I mean, there's so many things that could do to the air quality. When you start taking away vegetation, trees, when you start taking away a third part of the greenery that God has given, it's going to have many adverse effects, all right? And so you just first read that, oh, you know, it's like a fire in California. Listen, that's nothing compared to what's happening right here. Now, I'm not minimizing those fires. I'm just telling you, this is a third part, not of America, of the world, all right? Look, if you would, in verse number 8. Now, I want you to notice what happens here, okay? Something happened not to people. This happened to a place. The scripture says it happened to material things. So the first four, each one of the first four trumpets, God does something to the material things. By the way, didn't even realize this until this past week. I was doing some reading and I thought, you know, the seals are different than the trumpets on many levels. And yet God takes what he is doing. That those seals, when you read them, you go back and read them in chapter 6, man does that to himself. See, it's just like God takes his hand off and says, hey, that's what you want, go for it. If that's what you want, you know, man saying, I don't want anything to do with God, we want God out, leave us alone, you know, we don't, enough of this Bible thumping, preacher pounding stuff, just leave us alone. God said, okay. So he takes us out of here, and those six seals are open. Of the seven, the six are open. Look and see. I'm telling you, it's all man-made stuff. Every bit of it. Man-made. Man without God is just bent on destruction. Sin does that, brethren. Sin does that. Just bent on destruction. Bent on violence. Just, it's amazing. Man without God is greedy. Greedy. You look around at many, and I don't have time to go into all this, but you look at some of those these institutions and these ministries that have been started by God-fearing people many years ago, the Red Cross and the Salvation Army. God-fearing people who were full of the Spirit of God, who wanted to help people. Man, without God, he doesn't want to help people. People say, well, you know, man is inherently good. Don't you believe that for a moment? That's what the world says. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says. Man born of a woman, he's wicked. He's depraved. He's dark. Amen. So, well, man has a little spark of goodness in him. That's what the world teaches. That's what people that know nothing about the Bible say. The Bible says that you remove God, you remove the consciousness of God, the light that God lighteth every man that cometh into this world. You take that away from man, and I'm telling you now, man is dastardly, dark, and evil. And that's what happens when those six seals. And when you get to these first four, now God's doing this. Go back and look at them. It's something. All these years that I've read through the book of the Revelation, and I've never realized that. All of those things man done in those six seals, man done it. Wars, rumors of wars, famines. Man does this stuff. Man. And now God said, I'm going to get involved. And I want you to notice when the trumpets blow, God gets involved. Look at what it says. It says, and the first one was hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth. Now, man didn't do that. God did that. You see what we're being shown here? Look, if you would, in verse number 8. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. Man didn't do that. God did that. Say, preacher, you believe that? With all of my heart, I believe it. And the Bible says in verse number 8 that the mountain was burning with fire, was cast into the sea. A third part of the sea became blood, and a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. That's something. A third part. And it says, and the ships, look at it, a third part of the ships were destroyed. There's going to be a lot of food in these first two sounds of the trumpet. There's going to be a lot of the way that man lives life impacted by those two sounds alone. But it's not happening to man. Listen to me now. It's happening to material things that's going to affect man. You see what I'm saying? You see what God is doing here? Look, if you would, in verse number 10. And then he said, the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now, God names all the stars. That's in Psalm 147. God calleth them all by name. And there is a plant called Wormwood, and it's a very bitter plant. It's poisonous, actually. And it has poisonous properties. And maybe, I don't know, the Bible says it's a star. I'm going to stick with what the Bible says. It's a bitter star. And it's going to fall in the waters, and it's going to affect man's water supply, not just in America, around the world. And again, this is not happening to men. This is happening to the things that affect men, these first four trumpets. Look, if you would, in the fourth trumpet, verse number 12. The fourth angel sounded, the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars. So as a third part of them was darkened, the day shone not a third part of it, and the night likewise. Could you imagine? I mean, all these things that happened in the seals being opened. Now the trumpets begin to sound. No wonder there was silence in heaven for the space of about a half an hour. I mean, it's like God just grabbed this ball that we live on this earth and shook it. And by the time man, you know, staggers around, look at all that's going on, like, I can't believe what is going on. Yeah, we do that today. Rather than what we're going through is nothing compared to this. And it's like man's trying to gather himself, and he gathers himself, and right when he does, the first trumpet sounds, and it starts again. This is reality. This is not some movie, some Hollywood production. This is reality. This is going to happen. You say, well, it's not going to affect me. Well, it should. If it doesn't affect you, then you're not where you need to be with the Lord. There's going to be people that go through this. Maybe some in your family. I don't know. Maybe some live under your roof. I don't know. Maybe a neighbor. Maybe a friend. This is going to happen, brethren. He said in verse number 13, and now here's the change, and I'll be through here in just a moment, but I want you to get this, okay? I'm not going to go into the next three. I just want to show you something, but I'm not going to go into them. And I really haven't gone into the first four. I purposely said I'm going to do this next week, but I want you to see this, okay? He said in verse number 13, woe unto the inhabitants. God's getting ready to do something to you, he said. And God has touched your land. God has touched your waters. You listening? God has touched your fields. God has touched your land. But now this angel flies and he says in verse number 13, now God's getting ready to touch you. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's one thing when God touches the land or the sea or the fountains or the rivers. But when God touches you now, that's a whole different thing. And this one came with a woe. All right? He said, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants. He said, you think those first four, he said, these last three trumpets have a woe attached to them. Because this is it's on a different level. And I'm just going to give you just a snapshot of something here. Okay? Have you read this? I mean, this is just, it's mind-boggling. He said in chapter 9, he said, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key to the bottomless pit, and he. Now, this star, there's not a doubt in my mind who the star is. Actually, the Bible gives his name. He's the prince of the bottomless pit. He's Abaddon. He's Apollon. He is Satan himself. He's the destroyer. That's what the word means. And the scripture says that he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit, and smoke of a great furnace, and the sun of the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out the smoke of locusts upon the earth unto them that was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass or the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. In other words, this trumpet that sounds not going to touch the things, the material things, the greenery. It's going to touch some men. It's going to touch some persons. It's going to touch those, if you remember, those 144,000 that were sealed. It's not going to have permission to touch those. Now, who are these? Who are these? These are angels that have been stored in Tartarus for many, many years. Jude and 2 Peter wrote about them. Peter did in 2 Peter. They've been reserved in chains and darkness until the day of judgment or the judgment of the great day. You can read about it. Jude 6, read it sometime. 2 Peter chapter 2, it's there, brethren, I'm telling you. This is the horrible stuff. Literally, devils by the thousands and hundreds of thousands are going to be unleashed out of hell onto this earth. And they are going to cause so much torment that the scripture says this. It says in verse number 5 of chapter number 9, and to them was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torments was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Now that's real. That is horrifying. That'd be horrifying if it was some type of fable or science fiction. But this is real. This is real. It's going to happen. You say, what's encouraging about that? Well, there is no encouragement in that. Other than this, if you're saved, you've been delivered from this. But now you know it's coming. What are you doing about it? What are you doing? I won't read on, but I would encourage you to. I would encourage you to read you'll go to chapter 11 and look at verse 15, this is where the seventh angel sounds. The first four, check me on this now, the first four trumpets, 6 verses. The final three trumpets, 51 verses. 6 verses touching the land, the sea, the rivers, the fountains. 6 verses. 51 verses touching human beings. It's staggering, really. I thought as I was thinking about, what do you say to a people? What do you say to your church? What do you say to your people? How do you get anything good out of that? Well, I do have some good news. Number one, God is just in doing everything that he does. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to understand it. God is just. By the grace of God, I will never question the justness of God. By his grace, I will never question that. God is just. I may not understand it. I may not be able to connect the dots. I just know that God always does right and that God is just. And I pray that you understand that too. Even when I read something like this, God knows what's best. Number two, man at this time, and if you'll look at the latter part of chapter number 9, you'll find where man has become, they hate God. Now these are not people, now listen to me now. These are not people that love God, but they just don't know God. You know, these are not religious. These are people that shake their fists in the face of God and curse his name. Read it. If you'll read the last part, I think it's chapter 9, verse 20 and 21. Read it. It says they won't repent. They curse his name. They blaspheme his name. They hate him. Now, you do know that there's people in our world, even today, they hate God. They hate him. They do. And that's only going to intensify. All right? It's only going to intensify. And these people, they curse his name. They hate him. And if they could, they would martyr everyone in this building, every Christian they come across. And so God is vindicating his people. He's vindicating his name. He's doing what's right. So I'm okay with that, number one. Number two, as I've already mentioned, we're not going to be here. You can stand. We're not going to be here. But number three, if we're not careful, we'll read this and we'll say, you know, my, that's pretty severe. I would ask you to do something. Are you thinking that? Don't shake your head or raise your hand, but if you're thinking that's severe, I want you this week, between now and Sunday, to go back and read Calvary again. We forget so easy. If you really want to know what severity is, injustice, unfairness on every level, start right around Gethsemane and read it through. That is injustice, unfairness, beating, spitting, mocking. And God told them, Paul told them, Peter told them, you crucified the Prince of Glory, but he didn't stay dead. Read the book of Acts. You crucified him, but he didn't stay dead. And he's coming back. And this time, it's not going to be as a lamb in mercy and grace. It's going to be as a lion in judgment. So we need to be warning people. All right? This is going to happen. Let's bow our heads together.